WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The question, what happens next after Elon Musk's very public breakup with President Trump? CBS's Robert Costa.
Talking to people inside and around this White House, they say this is actually quite serious. You have the richest man in the world battling the president of the United States.
Musk suggesting Mr. Trump is listed in Jeffrey Epstein's files and needs to be impeached. Officials in Kyiv say Russia has bombarded Ukraine in one of its largest aerial attacks of the three-year war. Ukraine says three emergency responders were killed. The BBC's Paul Adams.
Here in the capital, which has seen many such nights before, residents took shelter as air defenses tackled waves of drones and missiles.
We'll get new monthly jobs numbers in an hour from now. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
If we get exactly what we're expecting, this tells the Fed that they have a little bit more time to kind of hang out in that wait and see mode.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Another push for new gun violence measures. Wisconsin Democrats and advocates are proposing a package of gun safety bills. They introduced these bills Tuesday that would institute universal background checks, reinstate a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases, and add red flag laws. All proposals that have broad bipartisan support across the country and have been introduced here in Wisconsin before. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for American children. It's been that way for years now. Lindsay Buescher from Moms Demand Action Wisconsin.
To every parent, whether you're here in Madison or in Green Bay or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Superior, I hope you feel hopeful because this package is for you.
From 2014 to 2023, the gun death rate increased 34% in the U.S. Here in Wisconsin, it rose 54%. During that time, Republicans repealed Wisconsin's 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun, which had been in place for about four decades. Senator Chris Larson.
As anyone could have predicted, and many of us did, gun violence has risen as a result of it.
Daryl Morin, head of Forward Latino.
In 2022, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we had 830 gun deaths. 277 of those were homicides. The overwhelming majority, 529 were Wisconsinites who took their own life.
Over the last five or so years, Democrats have introduced dozens of gun safety bills. But Republicans control which ones get hearings and, of course, which get passed. So the big question is, will any Republicans get on board? State Senator Deb Indraka.
Some of them say they support some of these measures. That's why we have public hearings. It's shameful that none of these have ever been called up.
We reached out to Speaker Robin Voss to ask if he had any comment on the new bills, but at the time of this recording, we haven't heard back. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers begin a three-game series against the San Diego Padres in second place in the NL West behind the Dodgers. Chad Patrick on the mound for Milwaukee. NBA, the Pacers were down by as much as 15 points in the fourth quarter last night in game one of the finals on ESPN.
Halliburton looking. Halliburton driving. Pulls off. Jump shot.
The Pacers win 111-110 over the Thunder. Game two is Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers has agreed to a one-year deal to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has worked with the quarterback's coach before in Green Bay.
The quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid-70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, actor Mark Unger, and it's a Bar Band Friday night with Rocker filling in for his Maxine co-host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Chihuahua, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, June 6th, 2025. Coming up, of course, it being Friday, our Week in Review panel. We will have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel here, Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze, and in place of Mark Jacob, we will have Chicago radio show host Joan Esposito joining us. I was on her show in Chicago on Wednesday, talking all about Wisconsin news and politics, and she's going to join us as part of our panel here. And then we'll have our new weekly sports segment in our next hour when Civic Media's Mike Clemens joins us. We'll talk about the Red Hot Brewers, that very exciting finish to game one of the NBA Finals yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers finally making it official. The newest bromance. We don't have the Trump-Elon Musk bromance anymore. We now have the one between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And how long is that one going to last before it blows up in sensational fashion? And will it do so before or after week five when the Steelers and the Packers play? We'll talk to Mike Clemens about all of that, coming up around 8:30 or so here. So that's all what's coming up. Brittany Merlot is standing by with a forecast as well. But first, it's time for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. This is something that's done statewide across the network four times a day, where you can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And each entry puts you into the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a weekend getaway, one in the Wisconsin Dells area, one in Door County, some gas money to get there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app. So be sure you've got that app downloaded from Apple, Google, wherever. And then when you're in the app, just go to one of the stations on the app and use the text button. And that way you can hear, or I'm sorry, use the text button. That way you can send us this hour's keyword. And this hour's prize is $100. And the keyword is warm. W-A-R-M. Warm. It's got to be spelled correctly. And just send the keyword, nothing else. You have until the end of the hour to text us the keyword warm. Your next chances to play will come at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for $100 this hour's prize, the keyword to text us is warm. Let's see if there's any warmth in the forecast by turning to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's back with us after there we go. Let's see, we got Alicia putting on YouTube. Welcome back, Brittany. I hope you're feeling better soon. Robin Tigerson says, Brittany, I hope and pray you feel better soon as well. So let's just say you were missed, girl.
Oh my gosh, I miss you guys so much too. Thank you so much for all the love and the good wishes. I needed it this week. It was a rough week, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm on the mend. I'm all right. Man.
Good. Well, I kind of feel like we are from a weather standpoint in terms of, you know, that Canadian wildfire smoke earlier this week was just so bad. And I'm so glad that it appears to have moved on. But now we've got a weekend that appears to be rather, is unsettled the right word?
Yeah, that's a pretty good word to use, I'd say.
Okay.
We've got a lot going on and off, spotty showers, chances for small storms all throughout the weekend. So I'm going to try my best to time it all out for you. So right now, this morning, we're waking up to the mid-50s north, mid-60s south. We're looking at more clouds than sunshine out there, some light drizzle pushing through central areas. We've got some scattered showers moving into far northern areas. And that's going to stay the case through this morning and into the afternoon. Kind of those spotty showers staying far north. And those could turn into some small storms later this afternoon, staying in the northern half of the state. Now, in central parts and further south, you're still looking at drizzle chances possible on and off or some clouds kind of taking away your sunshine. But otherwise, highs today kind of comfortable, mid-60s north to mid-70s south. And then tomorrow, we've got this system moving in, and it's going to give us a high-pressure system early, so some sunshine to start the day tomorrow. But then some more scattered midday showers are possible, especially south. Highs will hit the low to mid-70s, so still staying comfortable, a little bit cooler on Saturday. And then we've got a front moving in overnight and into early Sunday morning. Now, this is going to move in northwest around midnight. Tomorrow night, showers and storms work their way through the state early in the morning, making their way into southeastern areas by Sunday afternoon. And some of those could be on the stronger side, but it's also going to give us a lot more rainfall, moderate rainfall there, where we could see up to an inch or so in places north, maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch in places south. But, of course, a damp, darker, dreary kind of weekend, low 70s on Sunday statewide, and that damp, dreary weather continues into our Monday, too, with light rain likely. But I don't want to end it on such a sad note. I hate, you know, dampening people's weekends plans. So as we move into next week, it does dry out and it does warm up. So everyone wanting the summer temperatures, they're around the corner still.
That's great because, I mean, right now, after all that love we just gave you, they're turning on you already. Here's Tony. Tony says, geez, first day back and you give me storms on National Donut Day.
Oh, the donuts will make it better.
Tony, you can eat the donuts indoors, buddy. Yes, you can do it that way. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy, a few sprinkles, 59 degrees. I was busy on my birthday yesterday mowing two big yards and had a birthday pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. He said the bank in Tigerton had a birthday greeting at the front in the street there. Says that his Uncle Randy had an 8-track tape of Convoy. Smokey and the Bandit was a great movie with all that CB talk. We mentioned D-Day in our last segment, and he says World War II, that was a true American hero's generation, amazing people that went through the Great Depression and World War II. And then he says, thank you, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, for putting a birthday greeting for me on her Facebook wall. It was a great birthday, and it was our pleasure to add to those greetings on your birthday post there that Kristen put up for you, Rob. So, again, thanks for being part of our radio family. And
happy birthday, Rob. I'm so sorry that I missed it. And it sounds like you had a wonderful day and you deserve that.
He does. And he acknowledges that we do need the rain as well. So we will get through the weekend on all this. You keep feeling better and we'll hope to see you on Monday.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good weekend.
Yep. See you. See you later. There's Brittany Merlot with a little weather update for us at 7:13 on this Friday. With a reminder again, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Keyword for this hour is warm, W-A-R-M, and it's worth $100. We're going to pull one of those texts at random and give you that prize, and you'll be in the running for the grand prizes too. Just looking over at the text line here, all the folks that are sending in the keyword, and interspersed in there is Tom from Jackson saying it's great to hear Brittany again. Best wishes to her. And I have got to hand it to one of our folks who takes issue with a lot of what we say now and then, and that of course would be Mark in Sussex. And I want to get to just the right, I want to read the text just so. Because we did talk about all the money that Elon Musk put into getting Donald Trump elected. And I said that, yes, it did make a difference. And Mark from Sussex on the text line says, please, Harris, I have to clean this up, Harris wasted over $1 billion in 3 months. How easily libs forget that. And then 10 minutes later, he writes, no comeback. And, well, on that one, I can plead guilty because I wasn't looking at my text window, Mark. But the fact of the matter is, Mark, I don't have a great comeback for you. I don't. I don't like that Elon Musk could spend $300 million, but I also don't like how the Democratic presidential campaign raised $1 billion and how they used it. And not just how they used it during the campaign, but what always bothers me is campaigns and parties, they always spend down to zero. And I understand the thought behind it is, you know, well, you don't want to leave anything on the table. You want to run all the way through the finish line. I get that. I get that sentiment. But this is the only time you can raise the money, and it's not the only time you need it. And if there's one thing, and I can only speak for, you know, Democratic circles, I'll let somebody else speak for Republican circles. Democrats need more year-round investment, year-round organizing, year-round messaging than ever before. And there's still too many people that think, well, all those text messages that we sent to raise money before Election Day, we'll just keep sending those texts out. And I'm still getting those texts. And I'm not sending a dime in. I haven't been for a long time anyway. I keep getting the texts just so I can see what they're saying. But I tell you, I get on my soapbox about this all the time. So, Mark, you raise a good point. We can definitely do an autopsy on how the Harris-Walz campaign spent their money. But it was their money. It wasn't Elon Musk taking advantage of all the loopholes and putting money into places. It's wild now, thanks to Citizens United and thanks to the Wisconsin legislature. We still have these things called maximum donations where, and I don't remember the maximum numbers anymore, so I'm plucking this number out of thin air. Okay, I'm going to give the Kreitlow campaign $10,000 because that's what the maximum is. But I'm going to give the party $1 million. And I'm going to tell them I expect it to be, you know, done on the Kreitlow campaign. And theoretically, if there's a paper trail, somebody could be prosecuted for it, but it never, ever happens. And so this whole system is broken so badly. And the way certain parties deal with the money that they raise is broken so badly. I've got nothing good to say about any of it. So my point still stands about how no one person, the world's richest man, should not be able to put this much money into political campaigns. But Mark in Sussex is also right that we really have to take issue with the way that our money is used, no matter who we are. If we gave it to Donald Trump, if we gave it to Kamala Harris, if we gave it to a party, if we gave it to a group, I don't know that anybody feels like they're getting what they can for their investment. Which leads me to a pledge drive. We're currently doing one at Up North News. We do one every quarter because, like lots of other organizations, we rely on donations of all sizes to get things done. There are some big ones out there. There are some mid-sized ones out there. And there's all kind of small dollar ones, too, that I appreciate. And I appreciate it because when I helped start Up North News, initially the mailing address was for a Courier newsroom, you know, cubicle somewhere in New York City or Washington, D.C., I forget what. And I said, no, that's not going to do. Nobody's going to want to send us mail that has to be rerouted from New York or D.C. So I went down to the Chippewa Falls post office. I said, could I have a P.O. box, please? And they said, here you go. Here's the key to number 27. So P.O. box 27 in Chippewa Falls, 54729, is where we have been collecting, you know, little 10 and 25 and 50 and the occasional $100 donation for, you know, these past 5.5 years. And I'm so grateful for every one of them. A lot of times they come with just a little note, like what you do, keep doing what you're doing. Occasionally we get the not so nice email. I don't think any have come from Mark in Sussex yet, but Mark, you can send a note there too, to P.O. box 27. And just want to say, if you like what we're doing, again, we are separate from Civic Media, separate entity all the way here. Love the partnership. But if you want to support Up North News, that's one way to do it. The easier, faster way would be to go on the website. And there's a way up top there to support Up North News that way and support Courier Newsroom as well. We appreciate it all. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by, as is Joan Esposito, Jennifer Schulze. We will talk about all the week's headlines, starting with the bromance breakup. Coming up right after this, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Always happy the first week of the month. One of the nice things is there are two things that I do in the first week of the month. I pay my rent, and I welcome Christine Daniels across the table.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh.
In fact, I dropped it off in the box this morning.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good job.
There you go. But Christine Daniels is the executive director of the Good News Project. Always good to see you.
You as well, Chad. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There's a lot to talk about. And there is so much to what you do. And again, I want you to list to the people again what you just told me, the things that the Good News Project does to begin with.
Of course. So I have been with Good News Project for 25 years, Chad. And I am excited to be a part of an organization that has put a house over the heads of over 1,400 people. In the West Indies, we have collected over 3 million pounds of electronics to recycle and to do the right thing with. 99.6% of what we collect is recycled or reused, remanufactured, put into new products that you and I are buying every day.
Yeah.
And we also serve over 2,500 families a year with our durable medical equipment program.
You said it, 25 years, and you are the executive director of the Good News Project. I'm gonna compare the wonderful work that you do to a story I saw yesterday.
Okay.
And I just popped it up here because it shows maybe the difference between what you do as a leader of a nonprofit as compared to maybe somebody that is a leader of a profit.
Okay.
There's a man named David Zasloff. He is the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, a big media conglomerate. The shareholders, in a vote, which is only a vote that is to send a message,
And Mr. Zasloff has a $52 million package of pay and benefits. And he hasn't done a really good job in the last year. And the shareholders don't like it. So they said, we're going to vote to say that we don't like that. In the end, it's not going to change anything. For you and for others of nonprofits, you are not, as an executive director, getting $52 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of the things we want to talk about today is because we have a lot of folks, whether here in central Wisconsin and around the country itself, watching what we're hearing about the budget process in Washington. We're hearing about the budget process in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share a little bit about your story. And I think it's important because I think for folks here in our communities to realize that when decisions are made in one area, it does affect all of us, doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, I put a lot of thought into what I wanted to talk about today. And it really, it takes being vulnerable to do this,
right,
and to admit this, because there's a huge stigma around receiving Medicaid. And I want listeners to meet someone who receives Medicaid and still lives paycheck to paycheck. And that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a nonprofit female leader in the community, and I serve on various committees and boards because people respect my take on a lot of things and want my opinions at the table. And I appreciate that, and I don't take that for granted. At the same time, I don't work at a job that offers health insurance. Many small businesses can't, mm-hmm, and don't. And I qualify not personally for Medicaid in terms of Badger Care. So I'm right on the line. I'm right on the line where I don't qualify for Badger Care, but my children do. And mm-hmm, I have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really the only thing that has kept me afloat all of these years, because if I had to pay for my children's health insurance, I wouldn't be able to be at the job that I'm at. And, you know, I look at this and think, I've been put in a leadership position in the community to help other people, and yet I still need help.
Can I ask about the way it's discussed? And I think what we're seeing now in the discussion, especially in Washington, how do you take how it's discussed, and maybe how would you want it to be discussed? Because
yeah,
I've said in the past on this program that I believe in a lot of different things, and I know there's people that don't believe in different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the battle of the ideas as long as it's done in that spirit,
yeah,
within our system. We have a government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. When you hear the discussions about the cuts that are proposed and how it's being framed, what jumps out to you?
Yeah.
Maybe that you would like to share that maybe would be more realistic of the experience,
yeah,
of somebody like yourself.
So it's insulting, actually. I'm a very hardworking woman. I started working when I was 16, and I did it because I had to. And if I wanted to, go to the movies with my friends or take a car somewhere, I had to put the gas in. And so it was instilled in me a very, very good work ethic. And I've been working hard ever since I was 16. And now with four kids, I put in a whole day of work and then I chase my kids around, you know, taking them to various things because I want them to have the most well-rounded opportunities. And yet my kids work because they are being raised the same way I was in terms of, if you want this, you have to work for it. If you translate that to the conversations at the federal level, what they're saying is that people aren't working. And that's false. People are working very, very hard, and yet we still live paycheck to paycheck. I am so grateful that I have Medicaid benefits. And one of the things, ever since I had to apply for that so that my kids could have insurance, I always thought, this is a very complicated process. I am grateful that I have a college degree. I'm grateful that I'm smart enough to go through that process. And I worry about people who have to apply for Medicaid, Badger Care, and don't know how to do it and don't have the know-how or don't know where to go for resources to help them apply. It's already a difficult application process. And from what I hear, both at the state and government level, is cut, 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 cut all of this and make it more difficult for people to get their benefits. And I
to be able to pick up the phone and talk to somebody.
That's just it. Or the proof that you have to be able to provide. If you're in one home, which I've been in one home for the last 18 years, and so I know basically where all my paperwork is. But for people who are going from home to home, maybe their apartment rent has gone up and they have to go, it's easier to lose track of your paperwork. And it's harder to do that. But you're probably more likely in a position where you need that benefit even more so than anyone else.
We will have more with Christine Daniels coming up at 7:52. But back to Pat Kreitlow coming up next. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Boy, the high price for beef cattle driving our dairy industry towards a milk slump. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The high price that's being paid right now for cull cows, even heifers and baby calves, could be driving us towards a milk spiral coming up as soon as this fall. That's the projections of Cody Koster, dairy risk manager with EverAg.
But I believe that this is all going to kind of come to a head. You might have to wait until September, October, getting into quarter four type time frame for this to really happen. But when we do see it happen, I think it's going to be a spiral. And when we see that flat line of milk production, the next month you see lower, it's going to be like, okay, now everyone's catching on and we're seeing the ramifications of breeding differently than we have been for the past 10, 20 years in a row.
Cody Koster, he's a dairy risk manager with EverAg, and he said it's not just the United States that's caught up in this swirl of high beef prices, forcing dairies to liquidate their heifers. He said it's happening in Europe as well. Markets are next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained a penny and three quarters at 186. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and three quarters at 192. AA butter, that dropped a quarter of a cent on Thursday to 255 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, currently up three at 1867. The August milk closed 17 cents lower, 1901. Currently, July corn's down two. December new crop down a penny and a half, 447. July soybeans are down a penny. November new crop down a half at 1033. The wheat for July currently 3.5 cents lower at 542 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. More news available anytime you want it at MidwestFarmReport.com and check out our podcast as well. I'm PM Yankee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid-70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
A message from the CDC.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers and the NFL, will be with us to talk sports, and Peter Rapine of EPOM's World with a humorous week in review.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Still ahead, we'll talk sports with Civic Media's Mike Clemens, and we'll be visited in just after the 8 o'clock news by Dr. Kristen Lyerly about comments made by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss telling a room full of doctors, you need to do your research. I'm sure that went over really well. All right, let's get to it. We've got a great panel here. Jennifer Scholze, Joan Esposito, Jim Santel all here. Mark Jacob is off this week. And where do we begin? Let me describe how it all unfolded for me. I work here for a couple hours after the show and was starting to get the little things about Elon Musk saying this bill's got to be killed and Donald Trump saying, oh, I'm really disappointed in Elon. And then I stepped away for a while, ran some errands and things. I come back to the desk and it's like basically my computer was almost on fire. There was just so much going back and forth between, accusing Trump of, being with Jeffrey Epstein and Trump saying, let's cancel the SpaceX contracts and him saying, fine, we'll decommission the rocket and strand your astronauts and other people saying, let's send Elon Musk back to Africa. And Jennifer, I'll start with you. It was all delicious in a way. And then afterwards, the aftertaste is like, wait, what does it really change? And it's a very unsatisfying answer in the beginning, I think.
I'm not sure what it really changes. It remains to be seen if these two will patch things up or not. And the implications, I think, could be pretty enormous for Musk, for example. I mean, he has a lot of money in government contracts. Trump could take those away. That would have a significant impact. He could, Trump could really go after Musk in a big way, and Musk could really go after Trump in a big way by funding, challengers to Republicans in the 2026 midterms. I thought, though, my takeaway was, what a disgusting bunch of people to have that much power. I mean, I've thought that for a long time about both of them, but it was just an eye into... They both have so much power over so much, and watching that unfold was nauseating.
It was so both things, Joan. It was nauseating, and yet it was kind of the you love to see it. It's the meme with Jon Stewart and the box of popcorn and everything else. There was just a lot of feels yesterday.
A lot of feels. One of the things I said on the air yesterday was, what they say in politics, there are no friends, there are no enemies, there are only interests. This is a perfect opportunity to get some benefit out of Elon Musk, even if we don't bring him into the fold, which I think is never going to happen. But, have him go ahead and threaten. Laura Loomer posted something that she'd been on Capitol Hill talking to legislators, and they just didn't know whether to throw in with Musk or to throw in with Trump. And Musk reposted that and said, Trump's going to be gone in 3.5 years. I'm going to be here for the next 40 years.
Unless he goes up in one of his rockets and it goes boom.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Yeah, well, and Trump could die, choking on a McDonald's hamburger,
right,
too.
But
I think anything that he does that causes pain for Donald Trump is a plus. It's a win, and I'll take it.
So, Jim, with all of the back and forth, there were threats to cancel contracts because, again, Donald Trump thinks he can unilaterally do pretty much anything. And meanwhile... excuse me, people are looking at Elon Musk like, hey, I think you overstayed your visa back in the day. Maybe you can be deported. From a legal standpoint, even, there was a lot that you could decide to juggle and examine further?
Sure, absolutely. And it harkens back to those early days when all of us looked at this relationship and said, this will not last. And sure enough, we were all right. Everybody was right about that. But it goes to this larger issue, which is you think about all of the legal things that have followed in the wake of, I don't refer to it as DOGE because it's not a department,
no,
the Musk team doing all these things, the damage that he has caused in an unofficial capacity, not only thousands of people losing their jobs, bringing down agencies that provide good things for the American public. And now you walk away from it, and we're now focusing upon this spat, which is more than that, between people, neither of whom is a serious person. Elon Musk is not a serious person. Donald Trump is not a serious person. They are not committed to what government should do for people. And it is shocking. We should be stunned by the fact, yes, indeed, that now they're at odds with each other. But in the wake of what? In the wake of a coming through again with a chainsaw, with a wrecking ball, use your metaphor, and note that once again, the result of this relationship, bad from the start, is that our government is diminished today. And we are all diminished by that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And Jennifer, I was looking at the text line, and here's one from Dan. Seeing Trump and Musk arguing would be like watching an episode of The Real Housewives screaming at each other. Don't care. They're just wagging the dog and using news oxygen. And that gets us into the newsroom debate about this, because on one of the cable channels, Jake Tapper was just beside himself reading every one of them and every one of the tweets and the posts and everything. And meanwhile, over on MSNBC, which you'd think would be reveling in it, you had Nicole Wallace, who was actually trying to kind of keep her eye on the ball in terms of, you know, the real threats to due process and things like that. And if you're in the news business, I'm going to emphasize the business of it. Again, it's a weird tightrope to walk of how much exposure you give to the circus without losing sight of what's really happening, Jen.
And the New York Times this morning, the front page is screenshots of all these tweets, you know, the huge page. And I think you can do both. You can look at the circus and you can talk about the actual impacts of the circus, the potential for Musk yesterday threatened not to send a rocket up to the International Space Station to get the astronauts. That would be serious. You know, Trump is threatening to take away Elon Musk's contracts. I mean, I'm okay with that myself, but I mean, that would be serious for him. Elon Musk's car company, Tesla, suffered a huge stock loss yesterday with all of the chaos. So there are lots of impacts. But yes, it is juicy. It's entertaining. You know, as AOC said, the girls are fighting. Someone else
yeah,
on media had a meme that said alien versus predator.
Yep.
You know, and somebody else said alien versus sexual predator. I mean, you know, people are going to get a lot of mileage out of it. But at the end, again, I come back to the fact that these two have been in charge of the government together. I've called Musk co-president. For 4+ months. And what, like Jim said, what they have done to the country and to the world. I mean, there are children dying in Africa because Musk stopped the funding for PEPFAR. I mean, it is the consequences are so grave that I have to not let myself get too carried away with today's soap opera.
We've certainly had those discussions here, both from an Up North News standpoint and a Civic Media standpoint. Joan, from a radio standpoint, when you take callers, how much fun do you have with it, basically, you know, because the girls are fighting, as they like to say, versus not feeling like you're being used, you know, we're watching the monkeys while, you know, somebody else is picking your pocket.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a sort of a decision that, Pat, I'm sure you do the same thing. I kind of feel it out and make these decisions on the fly. After initially reporting some of the first back and forth, I told my audience, I said, you know, I'm not going to be doing this all afternoon. I am not going to be completely watching this banter. We've got other stuff to do. We've got other people to talk to. And then I had a great interview. And at the end of the interview, I said, okay, I can't help it. I have to tell you what happened in the last few minutes. Because that was the Laura Loomer thing, because that's what I was thinking. There are a lot of people in elected office right now at the federal level who are sweating this out. because, you know, on the one hand, you've got this, when you had Trump's anger and Musk's money paired together, that was a 1-2 punch that you couldn't fight. But now, do you go with the angry guy who will try to find some kind of revenge, or the guy who potentially could give you enough money to sail to re-election? That's going to be a tough one. That's, I think, an interesting story.
Lots of people are caught in the middle, Jim. Not the least of them are the, you know, the various attorneys, and we've already seen instances where, you know, lawyers have either been let go or have left rather than deal with all of this. A lot of it is not at the feet of Trump so much as Pam Bondi, the attorney general. And I saw a note, I think early this morning, about, once again, this is another effort to get Pam Bondi disbarred in the state of Florida, which has been unsuccessful before. It probably will be again, but they're bringing it up to make the case. I think they just want to keep it out there that an attorney general is not supposed to be the president's personal attorney and political henchperson. And that's exactly what Pam Bondi's doing.
And that is a break of tradition from, with the exception of Trump one, of every single administration. I worked for 9 different attorneys general during my time with the Department of Justice. In each one of them, the attorney general would consistently say arm's length with the White House. So dramatic that when I was U.S. attorney, the instruction was, you get any call from the White House, you report it right away back to Maine Justice. You do not respond to those phone calls. Now you've got our attorney general, the chief federal law enforcement officer for this nation, talking about how the Department of Justice works for not the American people, not in support of the Constitution, but we are supporting the President of the United States of America, and we're terminating those folks and suspending them if, in fact, they don't go to that proposition in court and out of court. It is a complete turning on its head of how the Department of Justice is supposed to work. And it can work in bad ways too, not only supporting the president, but some real injustice out there when it comes to taking all your cues from who it is the president wants prosecuted and not. We've already seen that investigations. It is dangerous at the highest levels.
Today, Democratic state attorneys general are going to seek to block Trump's proposal for a sweeping overhaul of U.S. elections. It's a case that's going to test a constitutional bedrock, the separation of powers. These top law enforcement officials from 19 states have filed a federal lawsuit after Trump signed an executive order in March. They're going to argue its provisions would step on states' power to set their own election rules and that the executive branch has no such authority. Jim, obviously Josh Call is a part of that. I'm sure that's not going to sit well with Ann Jacobs, who chairs the Wisconsin Elections Commission, either, that there needs to be, you know, states were given the ability to write their own election rules. Donald Trump doesn't get to write them for the state.
Exactly right. It's a real simple answer, Mr. President. Take a look at your Constitution. Oh, that's right. You don't take a look at it.
I don't know if I'm supposed to or not.
Right? Yeah, right. But James Madison said the times, place, circumstances of how we do elections in America, where do those go? Those are reserved to the states. And that's the reason why California does things differently than we do in Wisconsin, different in Illinois, other places. That's reserved to the states. It is not a federal issue. And of all the branches of government, the president is the one that has nothing to do with these kinds of things. It is a matter for the Wisconsin Election Commission, the Illinois Election Commission. They're the ones who do that. It's in the Constitution. This should once again be easy for a federal judge to look at and say in a 2-page order, you're out of luck once again, Mr. President, can't do this. And we'll go down this road once again of seeing whether or not he complies with it. The rule of law issue, the constitutional crisis that we are in right now adds more fuel to that fire. And maybe ultimately ends up at the Supreme Court. This is the loop we're in right now. This should not be a difficult decision.
It shouldn't be, and yet it is. Amicus Law Review can be heard live on Saturdays with Jim Santel, 9 to 11 on civic media stations all around Wisconsin. Jennifer Schulze's newsletter is on Substack, Indistinct Chatter. Search for @NewsJennifer. And, of course, you've got Joan Esposito live, local and progressive on WCPT in Chicago weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. That there is our Week in Review panel. Some folks will be sticking around, and they're going to do a little overtime work for us talking about this week's issues. For the rest of you, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is Pollinator Month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, and earlier this week I had a long conversation with Executive Director of the Good News Project, Christine Daniels, about the challenges that many of us have in our community. And we continue our discussion talking about some of the challenges that folks have in terms of getting the benefits, the questions, and the hoops you have to go through. And I think another aspect of it is it's not just about you. It's about children and being healthy. If somebody, one of your children is sick, not have to think, can I afford to take my child to the doctor?
Right, exactly. And last night I went grocery shopping and had to get extra things like laundry, detergent, shampoo, conditioner, you know, the basics for your household. And I feel like in the end I came back with very little food. I had some protein, I had some chicken, but also just the detergents and stuff. And I spent $350. This is for a family of five. So it's me and four kids, and I'm paying over $1,000 a month on feeding my kids, and even more on just the basic products. And think about, there are four women in our household. There's three young girls and myself, and there are still taxes on things like feminine products at the state and the federal level. And it's like, really? Like, these are things that you want people to work, and yet certain products that you need to be able to work are taxed. They're just so... There are so many things that are just very difficult to navigate and to make happen.
It sounds as though based on your experiences, that when you hear the discussion, that they're not listening to real people.
They're not listening to real people.
The real issues involved in this. And there are issues involved in it. There is nothing wrong with the discussion, but at least have a discussion that is based on facts.
Correct? And there's layers and layers and layers of it. It's not a simple solution. You can't just say, I'm going to cut Medicaid and then do it the next day and leave people scrambling. Like, if this is, in fact, something that the current administration wants to do, it has to be, honestly, it would have to be rolled out in a longer time period so people can figure out what the heck they're going to do.
Let me ask you to maybe wrap up this part of our discussion, because we're going to turn to the state in a few moments. If there is, because it sounds as though you are kind of on a line. I mean, because if the line is changed in a way that takes away some of these benefits, ultimately, what does it mean to your life?
To my life?
And your family's life.
Of course.
If these benefits were taken away, how much more difficult would your life be?
Ooh. Well, in the current situation with my current employment, which I've had for over 25 years, I would have to find another job. I would have to go to a larger corporation that does provide health insurance benefits so that myself and my kids could have them.
And of course, the work that you do to help individuals and families and communities, that would hurt them.
Yeah.
There is a trickle-down effect, isn't there?
There certainly is a trickle-down effect.
Or domino effect.
And you know, the thing is it because I live on the edge like that, and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. You know, that's not why I'm talking about this, because I'm an independent, I'm a strong woman, I'm always like, I got this. At the end of the day, if those benefits get cut and I still have to spend $1,000 plus in groceries, I will be going to places like the neighbor's place to get food for my family. Now, if you think about that, if you think of how many people live right on the line like I do, and yet nutrition and Medicaid benefits are on the chopping block, and how many more people are going to need those services, and yet how fewer funds these nonprofits have, and these are the safety net of our society and our community, there's going to be a really big problem in our community, Chad.
I guess my final statement to you is I do appreciate, and I'm sure many people appreciate it, that you are talking about this, because it, I think, underlines the fact that when I go to the supermarket, when you go to the supermarket, when you walk around downtown Wausau, we wouldn't say, oh, Christine Daniels, executive director of the Good News Project, is on this line where you need some of the safety net benefits that we have in our society. You don't know.
Exactly.
And it's about humanity.
It the bottom is. Line is. And you know, there's a lot of stigma around it. You know how guilty I felt for over 10 years that I'm on Medicaid? Like, you feel guilty, and you're made to feel guilty by people who aren't on it, to be like, oh, well, you're sucking all of this out of our community and out of the pockets of people who can make it. And so it is, it's very humbling. And honestly, this is the first time I've ever talked about it.
To be honest with you, I've got to get a little emotional here, because when you think back to being a child, you don't remember everything. But I remember being 8, 7 years old when my dad lost his job and we were on food stamps. Mm-hmm. And I still remember going into the store and having my dad pay with food stamps. And even as a child, you have that feeling of people looking at you.
Yeah.
And it stays with you.
It does.
I mean, what you just said brought me back 45 years, 46 years. Back in the late 1970s. When you hear the discussions, I guess, to wrap it up, think about the people. Think about not that, because, and as you said, I forget what the word was, insulting, when you hear the talk that basically, frankly, they make it sound like everybody that gets the benefits are lazy.
Right.
That they aren't working.
And I work so hard.
I know you do.
And I'm sure your parents worked so hard. And it's like, you just can't catch a break.
when you talk about your family with four kids. My family had four kids. I mean, I know how hard it is when you have a larger family, too.
And the thing is I have very smart kids, and they're emotionally intelligent children.
Yeah.
And I just graduated one, and she wants to be a doctor. So tell me, say she becomes a doctor, which this kid is so driven. She'll do anything she sets her mind to being. But look at how just a couple generations before her, because she had the health care that she needed, she is going to be able to provide health care to people in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how it works, and this is how it should work. You help one another get to the point of where our community can support one another and be good and kind to one another.
We will have more of my talk with Christine Daniels Monday morning on this program, but also go to WXCO.FM under my blog, and you'll be able to hear unedited the entire conversation, some 37 minutes that I had with Christine Daniels earlier this week. Another hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. We have brand new jobs numbers as investors look for signs of a slowdown amid President Trump's rising tariffs. The Labor Department just reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May. That's slightly fewer or significantly fewer than the 177,000 the month before. Most new jobs were in healthcare, leisure, and hospitality. Unemployment unchanged at 4.2%. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The government jobs report comes just days after ADP said that there were only 37,000 private sector jobs created. In that ADP report, small businesses, the ones with fewer than 50 employees, actually cut workers.
Again, Labor Department reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May compared to 177,000 the month before. CBS News special.